T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
In your face, Chicago sports talk with great opinions, guests, and fun.
Nope.
Afternoons on the Score.
I would definitely say that you could feel it. You know, you're not something that I felt, you know, from the day I've signed is, you know, the rivalry between Chicago and the Packers. You know, so I think it's very prevalent for us as players. You know, again, I mean, not just.
It's Allen Robinson discussing the Packers-Bears rivalry, or Bears-Packers, according to Darnell Mooney.
There's no way to know.
There is no way to
know. Maybe you could have been talking about something else.
It's possible.
Red Sox-Astros.
It's true. We didn't even get to it. And the computer crashed, and Tanny almost pulled a rotator cuff.
Throwing. Oh, there it is. It's playing from nowhere. I can't even stop where it's playing from. So.
Great.
I hope you like Nas.
What the hell's going on around here?
Hey, it's the 4 o'clock hour. This is when the tech gods come after us.
Remarkable. Got a lot of things happening here. What's going on? It's just,
I'd love to know.
Okay, great. You're the only person.
When I find
ask.
Out, I'll let you know.
Please. Thank
but all I know is Campy texted me before the break. Is it acting a little funny for you? Like, nah, not yet.
Here it comes. Beautiful.
I miss Nas, and I feel like it should come back for. There it is. All right.
I always wanted a pod that plays nothing but Nas. Now I have it.
That's a channel, folks. A pod is a technical term.
Yeah.
For, you know, something.
For radio sounds.
Radio things.
Speaking of Allen Robinson, by the way, he was the only surprise on the injury report today. Did not practice for the Bears. Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, J.P. Holtz, and Caleb Johnson all also not practicing for the Bears. Jermaine Ifedi placed on IR, as Mark Grody noted.
Yeah, so an ankle issue for Allen Robinson, maybe something that happened during practice. I don't recall anything during the game. It's the first any of us have ever heard of it.
Yeah, right? So a bit of a surprise DNP for him, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, they cite ankle injury. Also, the game within the game here, we are off the air. Normally, you know, we do a show from 2 to 6. We call it the afternoon show. It's Parkinson Spiegel, number one English-speaking show in the city. Thank you very much.
When are we going to become the number one Hispanic-speaking show?
As soon as we start speaking Hispanic, which is not really
get on that Rosetta Stone I got for you guys months ago.
Thank
you,
sir. We are working on it. It's been a while since we heard that music. That'll take us to number one.
By the way, did you see the Jimmy Graham's did not practice was a non-injury resting vet designation?
I like those. Yeah, the vet's got to rest one practice. Very kind.
How many snaps did he play?
It was a tough snap. It was a tough snap that he took.
I resent his existence.
I know you do. 9 touchdowns.
Last year. Last year.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
9 touchdowns. Right. It was way better than we expected. But we only get to leave at 5:55 if Grody makes it to the Miller Lite Top Draft Show that starts at 6 in Oak Forest.
I don't know if that's technically accurate, you know, that we only get to leave at
so you want to just dead air it?
Sure. Maybe Campy's been dying to host. Maybe there's a time that he can be live in studio.
And he is in studio.
No, I'm just kidding. We will stick around, of course.
And with Camp in studio.
The GPS for Grody going from Hallis Hall to Oak Forest has gone from 527 to 534, and now it says hazard ahead. So I think we might.
Is he feeding you GPS information?
He's feeding us updates because I'm betting against him making it at 6 o'clock.
He should share his location with you. Then you could follow along.
Well, you're getting him too. It's in our group chat.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so we're not keeping anything from you.
No, I didn't mean that. I just meant if we could be a little more accurate.
He can text and drive, apparently, because he's in a tremendous
Mark budget. Grody is keeping his location information from me. He's got a bond with you about his location that I am feeling resentful for.
Don't be sensitive. It's all right there for you.
Look, there's a lot I'm sensitive about, Danny, but Mark Grady's location is not on the list.
All right, good. I got my guard up. I want to be sure everyone's being included around here. Everything's fine. But we swear Allen Robinson spoke about Packer Bears. Can we play any audio,
Tanny? We can try, but I just got a call from the – first of all, I called Dustin, the engineer. Turns out he's in Miami, so I feel very bad about that. But he answered anyway. And then Dom, the engineer, called me and said, hey, you guys deleting anything from the system? I said, no, Dom, we're not. This is happening to every station in the cluster right now.
Oh, good. Yeah,
just to paint a picture, so we apparently can't delete things anymore, which is it's important. If I want to put new things, I got to delete the old things.
Right.
I don't have infinity space.
What market is this again?
I think three.
Tuscaloosa. Tuscaloosa is where
it feels like it sometimes.
Yeah, there's a season 5 of The Wire when they introduce the newspaper. One of the recurring themes with short staffs and budgets. It's a good show. Some of the newspaper writers are like, one day I want to know what it's like to work at a real newspaper. And then there's a scene with the cops, and they're like, one day I want to know what it's like to work at a real police department. One day I want to know what it's like to work at a real radio station.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, you would say that.
No. Ridiculous. Kenny, does our dump button still work?
It does work.
No, actually, no.
Does it? Oh,
damn
no.
It. The only button that works is this one.
Dump them.
Okay.
Which the only bit of sound. We're FCC compliant as long as that button
to the
works.
FCC.
Yeah, all right. Well, then no one heard anything about
that. We had Grobber ask him to dump them.
Dump them.
Right, okay, well, so let's try. It'll be like an adventure. Kind of fun.
All right, we're going to try to hear some stuff.
Well, yeah, no one knows what's going to happen here.
It's Bears-Packers week, and Aaron Rodgers is chatty.
Yeah, and so he went on with his good friend Pat McAfee, who always gets him to be very comfortable and expansive in his thoughts. And here's Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest to ever do it, talking about what this game means to him.
Bears week, you know, it doesn't take long to figure out how important that is to both fan bases. Around here, it's little Green Bay against big Chicago going back to 1919, yeah. You know, and little Green Bay over my time, you know, and really the Favre to me time. I think when Favre got the mantle, we were, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 back in the standings ish. And I'm happy to say we're up in the all time standings.
Oh, hell yeah!
Ty's looking good today. I know that is tough. Well, the thing I find cool about the rivalry, obviously, you got two iconic stadiums in Lambeau and Soldier Field, great venues to play. We've had some phenomenal games over the years, but you know, when especially Chicago, they've had a few more coaching changes than we have over the last 17 years or so. But
yeah.
Most of the coaches that come in, they always say, you know, one of the main goals is to beat Green Bay. And that's how special the rivalry is, because people know, you know, it's for the last, you know, 14, it's, you know, it's going to be how you play against Green Bay is going to determine what happens in the North. And there's been some bad blood over the years with Chicago. There's been some more cordial games. I'd say that, you know, they're playing well. They're 3-2. They've won a couple in a row. Their defense is playing really well. Robert's having a good season. Obviously, Mac is still one of the top players in the league. Oh, yeah. Akeem Hicks, our old buddy, you know, is an absolute stud inside. He's a space eater. They got a couple great linebackers, real good on the back end. So, you know, it's always going to be a fun week. It's always a great test. I love playing in Soldier Field. I have a lot of respect for those sports fans in Chicago. They're great fans.
Thank you.
We've had some rivalries over the years. I'm not asking them to like me at all, but I do appreciate the rivalry for sure.
That's cool.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff from Rodgers. Very comfortable, and he's being very kind when he said they've had a few more coaching changes than us over the last 17 years. Yeah,
just
you've had one.
Do you know, you do know, there's been three Packers quarterbacks who've started against the Bears since 1992.
Yeah.
Favre, Rodgers, and?
Jordan Love.
Brett Hundley.
Oh, that was who it was.
Yeah. Damn. Brett Hundley.
Damn.
King of the bat flip.
Not Jordan Love.
So.
Was that the Benny Cunningham, John Fox odd challenge, non-challenge game? I think I remember that one.
Maybe. Yeah, Jordan Love was an idiotic guess.
Yeah. But Brett Hundley. It might have just been a brain fart. I mean,
Brett Hundley's not the same guy as Jordan Love.
No, definitely a different guy.
You know what? I was at the Brett Hundley game.
Were you really?
Yeah. Tough times.
Justin Fields will be how many quarterbacks since 1992, if you want to guess?
1992, so that's...
To start against the Green Bay Packers.
15.
20. Justin Fields is 20th since 1992.
That's too many.
I was looking at the all-time matchups, and I clicked on a random game, 2015. Aaron Rodgers, really good in that game. 39 for 56, threw for 320-some yards, bunch of touchdowns. And the Bears quarterbacks were Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley. Those are human beings who played against the Packers for the Bears.
So it's just a wonder why that all-time series record has tilted in their favor.
Well, that's the thing.
It's hard to figure it out.
Matt Barkley finished the season our starting quarterback, and he was not in the offseason and wasn't even in training camp. We'd like to probably not do that again.
Checking your math on that. I get
that
the same.
Checks out. Yeah. We'd like our starting quarterback at the end of the year to not be a guy who was not in training camp. We'd like our starting quarterback at the end of the year to be somebody on the roster.
It's nice to have goals. It's good. Ambition. We'd like to have computers that play audio.
That'd be nice.
When we tell them to.
When Brett Favre lost his first game for the Packers against the Bears in 1992, the Bears at that point had a 24-game edge in the rivalry. A 24-game edge.
It's ridiculous.
Since then, 44-15 for the Packers, who now have a 101-95-6 records. And this is the biggest advantage that Green Bay has ever had in the rivalry between the Packers and the Bears. Thank you to Rob Domofsky for doing that research.
That is good stuff. A texter summing up all of Chicago. God, I can't wait until he just goes away.
Rodgers or Danny?
Rodgers, I think. Okay. I think that was talking about Aaron Rodgers. One and the same, both goats. He was.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
Yeah.
Another texture says 20 different quarterbacks. That's gamesmanship.
Yeah, you never know who's coming at you.
But is it sportsmanship?
I don't know. Ask Tony.
One and the same.
I don't like gamesmanship. I like sportsmanship. Well, not gamesmanship. My guy's not ready. Oh, there he is. Surprise.
All right, so that's Aaron Rodgers to his good buddy Pat McAfee. I'm sure he was less expansive with the local media, but you mentioned the number of quarterbacks and 20 for the Bears and only 3 for the Packers. Yeah. So Rodgers has played against a bunch of them. I'm wondering how he feels about that discrepancy and if he knows any of them.
Unless my counting is off, there's been 16 during your time as the starter. Do you think you could take a crack at naming all 16, given your memory?
Counting playoffs?
Counting playoffs.
It's not the same one. Not counting.
I think it's the same one.
Yeah, I could get close, probably. Jay Cutler.
One.
Kyle Orton.
Two.
Rex Grossman.
Three.
Oh. Mitch.
Four.
That's about it.
What
did
you say?
That's about it.
I just gave up.
Giving up. I got a meeting to go to, man. It's can't rack the memory banks.
Oh, that's so hurtful.
So Aaron Rodgers, I know, would be good at pick a player. He's too smart to be bad at pick a player, but they're so inconsequential in his life.
He stopped at 4.
And
refused to go on.
And he got the 4 best. And it's like Orton.
Yeah.
You know
Orton, Grossman.
That was cruel, including the playoffs, he said. That was cruel.
Yeah. Mitch and Jay.
Well, this is the thing about Rodgers. The truth is just cruel. You know, he doesn't even have to be extra cruel. He's just himself.
Yeah.
And his existence makes it cruel.
I know this is unpopular. I love him.
Oh, he's really, really good.
He's awesome. He's so fun to watch. He's so smart and he's so good.
I still don't think there's a more accurate thrower. There are so many. You watch any Packers game, you see 4-7 balls that are dropped perfectly in the bucket. As Devontae or others are running, it's just impossibly perfectly.
Mainly just Devontae. He pretty much just throws to Devontae right now. They probably should have drafted another receiver for him instead of Jordan Love.
Oh, there's that.
That probably.
Or kept his guy, Kumerow.
But I was thinking last week, like, they're playing Cincinnati. T. Higgins is right there. I was like, God, that guy should be on the Packers. Mm-hmm. That just was such an obvious draft pick for them.
I'm glad they're not. I'm glad he's disgruntled, and hopefully he leaves after this year.
Me too.
That would be good.
But how about that? Smart dude. finalist to host Jeopardy.
Four.
Photographic memory is told you've played 16 different quarterbacks on the Bears' biggest rival. You remember everything about your football career. Uh-huh. Can you name them? He goes four deep and taps out because he is totally disinterested in coming up with Caleb Haney. You know what I mean? He's just not here for your Matt Barkley recall.
He's not here for – was there a Jason Campbell game in there?
Yeah, he
probably.
Yeah, he does not care about any of them.
Oh, God.
It's just – that is a – that is awesome.
It is a cruel, cruel existence. God.
Anything else from Rodgers worth getting into from today, Tanny? No?
No.
Okay.
My case in the meeting was always got this reverence for the rivalry. He doesn't even care about the quarterbacks on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. You're like, this audio is really good. He really respects the rivalry. It's fun to hear one of the greats talk about this game that we spent so much time talking about. Follow-up question from the media. Yeah, who'd you play against? I don't remember.
There were people there, life forms. I know he was asked if he would ever play for the Bears.
Yeah.
And he said no. And was asked again, is that a hard no? And he said, guys, it's just not going to happen.
I mean, I don't think they're extremely happy with me. They're not very cordial most of the time, but I respect that. I mean, I respect the it's a great sports town. They got two baseball teams, a basketball team that I grew up cheering for. I don't know how it was for you guys, but when I was growing up, one of the few channels we had on TV was WGN. And so you got to watch, like, Cubs baseball, you know, and some Bulls basketball games for whatever reason, so... You naturally became a fan, I think, because I was a big sports fan, and that was the only thing that was on TV. For years, you know, when we played down there, I would, the night before, go on a long walk, and often walk to dinner. Mastro's was where I went to dinner for years and years and years in a row. And on one of those walks, you know, a random mom and son, even though I'm all bundled up, you know, wearing a sweatshirt because it's freezing and a, you know, winter hat and stuff, they recognized me and we walked for, I don't know, four or five blocks together. So that was a nice chance meeting. But I've always, you know, enjoyed the city, enjoyed the fans, even though they haven't really enjoyed me. That's fine. I get it. Maybe there'll be a little more love when my time comes to an end playing here, but, I do have a lot of respect for the city and the sports fans they got there.
Could you see yourself ever playing there when your time comes? Playing here?
No.
Hard no.
It's just not going to happen, man.
Really love it there. Love the restaurant scene. Love walking through town.
Well,
nice
we got
people.
Justin Fields now. Come on. Yeah. Come on. We got Fields.
Would you like to come play here? No. No.
No, no, that's not.
No, no, no. No.
That's
not going to happen.
That's ridiculous.
No, the lake is beautiful.
It's where quarterbacks go to die. you have skyscrapers?
Am I wrong for that?
Yeah. I want one of those so bad.
God.
It's like the kid on Christmas. See your friends all get the new video game system or the new hoverboard or the new bike or whatever the case may be. It's like, I want one of what they have.
I recommend
my
that
whole life they've had one.
After you go to Mastro's with Aaron Rodgers, the butter cake.
Oh, it's delicious.
Right?
It's delicious.
It's unbelievable.
It really is.
I don't
great.
Know what it is. I've had butter cake other places. Nobody does it as well as them.
What's your favorite chain steakhouse? Mastro's is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in terms of, there's
pretty good.
Mastro's. I've had Mastro's.
Outback.
The producer answer is Outback.
Yes. Arby's.
The host answer is Capital Grill.
The intern answer is Arby's.
Yeah. I remember interns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was once one.
I was once one as well.
Yeah.
I would love interns. Would love to have another one.
I would love to also.
You know what they're great for?
Coffee run.
Research and coffee.
Not
that's what
right.
I miss. And, of course, printing out stuff from the newspaper, photocopying it, and then taping it all over the studio.
It's like, Mac, you don't like baseball. Why am I horizontal printing the baseball standings?
Gotta have those standings!
How do we ever lose interns? Okay, can you explain to me your internship before you go back to school here? Well, I take the newspaper, and I make a copy of it, and I print it. Okay.
That is worth a college credit.
Getting really good at my reduction settings on the photocopier. Getting really good at that.
Why are you making it smaller?
I don't know. Trying to fit everything on the page. Don't do that.
And I get manly things from the store.
Manly things.
That's an all-time. That should be explained. Since it came up, every once in a while we whiteboard things. An intern was once told to go to the drugstore and get me some reading glasses. I need reading glasses. And as the intern was walking away, Max said, something manly. Like he meant a manly style.
A manly style of glasses.
Of reading glasses. Don't come back with something that's not manly. The intern thought, he wants something manly from the drugstore. So we got him reading glasses and a six-pack of Heineken. He thought that was
something manly.
Here you go.
I mean, it could have been a Playboy.
Right.
Like what else? You're at going to a drugstore. What else is on the table there?
Popular Mechanics.
here's Rolling Stone, some beef jerky, and some reading glasses.
Got you a Black & Decker grill. Or drill, excuse me. Not a grill.
I was had to buy Jay Mariotti glasses. Ironically, as an intern. Yeah, he wanted sunglasses. We were doing an outdoor remote.
Oh, of course he did.
We were doing an outdoor remote.
Sunglasses. I thought he had his own line of glasses.
Own line of sunglasses. D-bag sunglasses. Jay Mariotti's signature brand.
There's a lot of pressure. It's like, how expensive? I walked down Michigan Avenue. He's got Jay Mariotti's credit card, and you got to go buy him a pair of sunglasses.
Only $35 for Mariotti's brand. Windsock sunglasses. Oh, wherever the wind's blowing, Jay's sure to be there, writing an opinion that fits.
Jason Panetti. We haven't talked to him in too long. The Sox season is over. We have things.
This is one of those circumstances where we'd like to tell you what's happening.
One of the best broadcasters in the game, the voice of the White Sox, our friend and yours, Jason Panetti, joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Jason, the season ended far too quickly for Sox fans liking, obviously, but we appreciate your time as always. What were your biggest takeaways of how the series went against the Astros?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I think the Astros were the better team, clearly, in four games. I mean, that happened. They are a deep offensive team, and the Sox just didn't have those big offensive days that we had seen at points this season. You know, to me, going into the postseason and going into even like midway through the year, I've said this a couple times on the telecast, but we also said it on the StatCast show, just talking about Major League Baseball on the whole. The White Sox are the only team out of the top 12 in ground ball rate to make the postseason. And I think we saw at times when there are opportunities to lift the ball. Obviously, pitchers are trying to get you to not lift the ball. But I think that hurt at points. And I don't know what that is long term, whether or not there's like a shift in mentality or what. But, you know, when you have a bunch of sluggers on your team and the league ground ball rate is the slugging percentage on ground balls in Major League Baseball is 266. I would just like to see the Sox have more home run potential in terms of balls lifted. I know I sound like Doug Latta or something, like a hitting guru, and I'm not. But it was a number that concerned me going in. And, you know, I also think, like, there was some fair criticism of which reliever at which point and things like that. And, you know, you can postmortem all you want, but you just got beat. Like, I think this is a really good baseball team, and the franchise is in fantastic shape in terms of long-haul ability to have this young core. But, there were a couple things going into the postseason that concerned me, and some of them played out.
Yeah, there were some things that concerned a lot of us, and they did play out. Seeing stolen bases with no throw – Seeing balls get away from catchers, seeing relay throws that were awkward, those kind of defensive things, it makes me crazy. Can this team, get better? Can veterans get better at this stuff? And how can they get better at this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is yes. I think we've seen in Major League Baseball over the course of the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, that there's always opportunity for inspiration and substantial growth, even if you've been somebody who's been entrenched in Major League Baseball. So I personally, like, having watched a bunch of minor league baseball and now a bunch of Major League Baseball, I think there are opportunities to turn the corner for everybody at any point. And I think it's a matter of, like, focused practice and how you do that. I don't know the answer. Like, I've sat with baseball people watching the White Sox the last week and a half. You hear slide step, you hear a bunch of different things about runner control. Very clearly, the Astros are not a stolen base threat on the whole. I don't think they're going to steal very many bases in this series against the Red Sox. They were like 26th coming into the postseason in terms of stolen bases. And I do think they looked at the scouting report of the White Sox and they said, we're going to run on this game. And whether or not that's pitcher adjustment, and I think it is, I think clearly they had pegged a couple of Sox pitchers that they were going to run on. But I also think, nothing is ever crystallized with a player. Like, you can make players better. Players can make themselves better. So I wouldn't ever say, and maybe I'm optimistic about humanity like this, but I wouldn't ever say, well, you know, like, that person's not good enough if they have a bunch of other good attributes. Like, I think you can fix specific things about players.
I share that optimism about humanity. Damn it.
I'm struggling to, frankly.
I know. It's hard times out here.
We're just in Vegas, so I don't know. You guys were just in Vegas. I don't know what that does to that.
Yeah.
But I think it has some effect.
Oh, yeah. Optimism takes a hit, as well as your life expectancy. Also,
God, 18 hours of sleep combined the last two nights, still not quite enough. The fact that Shane went drinking after the Sox got eliminated, that's the difference right there between 27 and 35.
Respect.
Yeah,
respect.
Dude, you're still in your prime, baby. Respect.
Jason, I'm worried about the defensive positioning, and I've decided I'm not going to let this go all offseason. They were 27th of 30 in shift percentage, 28th of 30 against right-handers, and it drives me nuts. And some of this stuff I learned by watching StatCast, broadcast with you and Mike Petriello and Eduardo Perez. Is that a function of a lack of cooperation between front office and manager, or is it? I'm trying to figure out why this doesn't happen, and if that number and how that number can go up, because I think it should.
Yeah, you tell me when you find out, because I'm interested too. The StatCast shows are like the best thing I've ever done. I love our crew, and I love the knowledge I've gained in understanding baseball by being around them. Pardon me. But I also, when I'm watching a game now, I watch a game totally differently because I've been around this and because I understand it. And, I don't think that makes me a quant. Like, I understand baseball at the core from talking to players and coaches for 15 seasons now, minor and major leagues. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think there's enough data to understand where people are going to hit the ball very likely. And I think shifting helps you more than it hurts you. I think that's fairly clear. And honestly, Aaron Bummer is the perfect example of that. He gave up terrible ground balls all season long. And, some of that, you're not going to be able to play somebody 30 feet up the third base line and get him an out there like we saw the one yesterday, halfway up the third base line, whatever it is. But, yeah, I personally, not anybody who has control over anything, am in favor of the shift. I am.
We're talking to Jason Benetti, White Sox television broadcaster here, Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. Will you talk about how you watch games? Sox fans obviously watch their games by watching you and Steve Stone, which is pretty universally regarded as one of the best broadcasts in local baseball. You are fairly universally regarded as one of the best broadcasters in sports. You do NFL, college football, college basketball. You work for ESPN. You're on the short list, reportedly, for Sunday Night Baseball. And so I want to ask you about broadcasting, and I have not talked about this yet on the air. Didn't really feel like it was my place to do so until I could talk about it with you. Before the playoffs started, I'm reading Jeff Agrest in the Sun Times, and and I'm going to read this to the audience, so I apologize for how long this preamble to the question has been, Eddie. This is not how they taught us to do it. But if anyone didn't see this, it struck me as interesting. They were talking to Steve Stone in the Sun-Times, and they were talking about the popularity of your broadcast, and Agrest wrote, Stone said he's trying to do for Benetti, who joined him in 2016, what Harry Carey did for him. Quote, this is Steve Stone's quote. Harry taught me a little bit about what sells, what doesn't sell, how to treat certain situations. Harry taught me about being a local broadcaster, being able to criticize, but being able to understand that this is the team you want to win. When Jason strays into areas that I think he might want to do a different way, I'll say it. Sometimes he buys it and sometimes he doesn't. He's a very strong-willed guy. He is a marvelous broadcaster. I just don't want him to lose sight of the fact that there's a lot of ways to do this. There's a certain amount of finesse that goes into certain calls. End quote. He then goes on to talk about loyalty to Jerry Reinsdorf. What is happening here? What do you make of those quotes from your broadcast partner?
My first thought when I read it was, we need to get Steve a hobby. Like, can we get him some like art supplies or something, like a Zen garden for the off season? Because he carries all of this with it. Like he enjoys doing this so much, but he, as you know, like he analyzes specific situations and breaks them down, and he does. Like, that's what makes him good, is he always has a piece of advice for a situation. And then the second thing I thought was like, you know what? I actually feel the same way about him. Like, I think he's totally right. Like, he has given me advice that I have taken sometimes and I haven't other times. And, like, I've done the same thing for him. Like, when he talks about pitcher win-loss record as a headline, I say, like, well, people aren't using that anymore. Like, that's not really something that's, you know, terribly important to front offices at this point. Or, like, you know, other things that I've given him advice on that he hasn't taken. And some of it he has. And like, I think that makes a good booth. But I was a little surprised that he said that, because, like, I think we do that for each other. And that's the whole reason we vibe, is because I'm 38 and he's 75 and we have different worldviews. But I also think there's part of it, and you can ask him when you have him on, like, I think part of it is, you know, he ran into some trouble when he was critical in his past, and he doesn't want that to happen to me.
Does that concern you?
That he thinks that, or that that's true?
That could happen.
That it could happen to you.
Oh, that can happen to anybody, right? I don't know which situation that was about. Maybe it was about the Danny Mendick bunt against Derek Holland, or maybe it was about the whole travel situation. But you guys know me well enough. Like, my entire life has been spent fighting for something I believe in, and feeling like I have to help people understand me personally. So, you know, when somebody tells me I'm strong-willed, I think that's the best badge of honor you can bestow upon a person, because they, you know, they have something they believe in. And I think there's just something bigger here for me in life. So, yeah, I thought it was weird, but I also feel the same way about him. Like, there are things that I've said, hey, like, maybe we could do this, maybe we could do that, and sometimes he takes it and sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a partnership ought to be, really. It ought to have that
That's right.
Yeah, it ought to have that kind of dialogue where you can say, boy, you're so good, I like what you do, but this is a thing that I've been thinking, and then you talk about it with each other, and hopefully you guys can have that without involving Jeff Agrest. It's just a thought.
I would hope so, too. I thought we had done that to that point, but I will say, you know, there are a lot of young people in our industry who are, and a lot of industries who are really good at what they do. And they have people who are older who want to give them advice. And quite often that advice comes from a great place and is really helpful. But, you know, I don't like for anybody when somebody says to a younger person, listen to me just because I'm older. And this is not about Steve. This is about the world. Like, I think there are a lot of young people who don't get the level of respect they deserve for what they've learned about the world as well.
Well, to me, I don't think Parkins deserves that respect.
Obviously.
It's just, I mean, that's where I'm coming from, you know, as an older person, slightly.
I think all three of us know that that's true in a lot of industries.
Yes, of course.
And I do, you know, I do like the respect your elders thing is important to a society, but not so your elders can just tell you how to live because that's the way they did it.
But
so that's why I don't take some advice, mm-hmm. and that's why I do take other advice.
But Jason, like I remember when Kent Merker and other players went up to the booth to challenge Stoney. You know, it's like I'd like to think that times have changed in that way in terms of the quality of broadcast, in terms of the honesty and the credibility expected of a broadcast. I would like to believe that for the broadcast that I watch.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I think we're a good partnership, because he's very honest about a lot of things. And like, you all know, I put myself on the line at a number of instances this season in terms of criticism of travel, strategic decisions, whatever. Like, it is on the record. I have done that. And I think that's what makes us a good telecast. Like, yes, we want the White Sox to win. Yes, we believe in the White Sox mission. But when something is awry, we both say it. And that's why we work well together. And yeah, like sometimes we'll be sitting there and we'll try to give each other advice and it's like, nah, I'm good. Like we're different people at some times, but then other times we are very much the same person. And I think he's a pretty strong-willed guy too, who, you know, is not easy to get advice to sometimes. And that's good.
Yes.
That means like we have a way of living. And we believe in it. I like that. I think we're the same in that way. It was funny. Like I read it again after somebody sent it to me, and I was like, I literally think the same thing. Because you know, I cannot get him off pitcher wins and losses. I just can't. And it doesn't mean anything. I can't. And he's like, count the amount of times that he's asked me if I want to be the mayor of Clowntown on television because I came up with some other idea about Major League Baseball and its future. I think Clown Town is the way he's strong-willed and doesn't want to listen to my advice. So I think it's funny, actually.
They have a ball club? They have a ball club in Clown Town? I'm curious.
They're good.
I think he's going to own it.
Jason, when you said, I think the three of us can agree, I thought you were saying the three of us could agree that I didn't deserve the respect, which is what Spiegel said. So that was
we all can agree on that. It's not three is the under on that, Danny.
Yeah. Okay, fine. We end on common ground. Jason, you're the goods, man. We will talk soon. And do you have any more StatCast broadcasts coming up, or is that done?
We're done. ESPN doesn't have any more rights for games.
Right,
but,
okay.
We'll see what happens, and you know, I'll see you for Pitt and Virginia Tech on Saturday.
Enjoy that. That is Jason.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's Jason Benetti. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, guys. See you.
That's Jason Benetti. He's one of the best. We're Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Says that I'm a meth addict, which I'm a cocaine addict and alcoholic.
Get it right. X Factor, bottom of the hour, brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
Have you shared that story on the Twitters, the social media thing that people use? It's very popular, I've heard.
No, but I mean, I saw it in my timeline a few times, because I obviously still follow and interact with some people from KC, which is how I came across it.
God, it's so good. Superfan on Superfan Crime.
Yeah.
A Superfan apprentice turning on the master. And the correcting of the meth addict accusation. How dare you call me a meth addict, sir? I'm a cocaine addict.
Yeah, it's it really makes you want to go to an NFL game, doesn't it? You're talking about super fans fighting over which drug they're addicted to and punching each other, and yeah.
Well,
sounds terrible.
Yeah, I know. Nobody likes to go to NFL games. They're fun to watch on TV. I went to one last week, though, and I had a great time.
Think you'll go back in the next 2 years?
I don't know.
I'll bet against it.
If I'm on the road
sure,
somewhere.
On the road.
Especially now that we debuted our new segment yesterday, Trading Spaces Stadium Edition,
yeah.
Where we advise our friends, the McCaskies, on the new house they're going to be building in 2026. So we'll keep going to Stadia and advising them. So, yeah, maybe I'll go if I'm on the road.
I did have the itch to do that coming up. We'll get into why, and we revisit the Goodfellas treatment for the Chicago White Sox. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.